Welcome to The Fringe Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the Fox television show Fringe. Hi, and welcome to episode 38 of The Fringe Podcast. I'm Daryl.
I need a haircut. Just saw myself on the screen.
All right.
I'm Clint. I need a haircut, not you.
You do need a haircut.
Yeah, you do.
You need to go to like one of those barbers. Remember the old Popeye cartoons? Bluto and Popeye would come in off the ship and they were all hairy, and then they'd go in and they'd get the face cleaned off and the hair trimmed up. That's what you need.
Yeah, my hair doesn't bother my wife anymore, so now I need to cut it.
Shave it. That would bug her, wouldn't it?
I need to get a mohawk.
Now, that would be fun.
Yeah, you could do the... Is it Chris Anderson, is that right? The guy that plays for the Nuggets, the Birdman? He has the mohawk going on.
You get your mohawk, and then I'll go get my hair cut, and I'll have my faux hawk, and we'll match.
Oh, I thought you could get a mohawk, too.
No, I'm sorry.
How's your new Mustang handling?
Awesome. I get compliments on it everywhere I go.
Hey, when did you end up with?
2002 Mustang GT. If you go look at my update for today, there's a twit pic of it.
Okay, I'll do that.
Is it purple?
No, it's blue.
What's the official paint color, do you know?
I don't know what the official paint color is. I bet I could find it, though.
Yeah. Let me pull up the outline so I have a sense of where we're going with this podcast. All right, so let's get this party started with a little Fringe binge.
True Blue Metallic, that's my paint color.
Oh, True Blue Metallic. True Blue, that sounds Fordish, you know. All right, Jason.
We are going to be light a cast member after probably the first story arc of next season, we found out. That's pretty sad. We will not be seeing Charlie Francis. He is gone to join all the other Americans in the unemployment line.
He's not unemployed.
You don't think
so? Just with Fringe.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they fired him so... Here's just to kind of let you know. Kirk announced on his Facebook page a couple of weeks ago that he had been fired from Fringe. After a couple of days of kind of trying to figure out how this all was going to shake out, was it true, was it not true, whatever, we basically confirmed that it was true. He did get fired from Fringe. We're not sure why. We're not sure if it was it was to do with budget or why. I think that's been kind of the general speculation, was that, you know, they're moving to Vancouver and they're budget conscious, and so they had to make a cut somewhere, and they're focusing on the main three characters, Peter and Walter and Olivia. So I think we'll still see him next season, but maybe just as a part-timer, or maybe just even part-time until they can kill him off. I don't think we're never going to see him again. They do have one episode in the can, if I remember correctly, right?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay. So anyway, we'll see what happens with that. What other Fringe binge do we have, Jason?
Other than our t-shirts?
Yeah, talk about the t-shirts.
We have some t-shirts that are pretty nifty that are for sale at Cafe Press. You can go from our website, thefringepodcast.com, and you'll see a little tab just above our names on a Twitter. And you can link and see all the nice little shirts and hats and mugs and stuff that we have. They're pretty cool. Some Canadian references. Most of them have to do with the Fringe. Check them out. They're very cheap, affordable, and they're awesome.
Yeah, and you can just go directly to that at cafepress.com/fringepodcast. Not the Fringe Podcast. That was too long. They wouldn't let me use the. So cafepress.com/fringepodcast. You'll see the We're Big in Canada t-shirt with the maple leaf. You'll see the Observers Are Here t-shirt. We've got one that's just our logo. We've got the couple of them that have the green, red dots on there. And Then this one was pretty much all Jason's idea. On the front of it, it says there's more than one of everything, and the Y in everything is the wonky Y. And on the back, it has like two, like the man from the men's room sign. It has two of those, like they're clones or something, or ones. We should have put a scar on one of them's face,
or given them different colored eyes.
Yeah,
but we didn't have the comic then.
Yeah, that's true. I could go back and put a scar on one of them's face, but it might be too small to even realize it's there.
Yeah, I don't think it would work.
Yeah. Some other Fringe news we've got. I'm pretty excited about this. On September the 8th, we learned this week via Fringe bloggers. They were the first place I saw come out with it, that the Fringe DVD and Blu-ray will be releasing on September the 8th.
That's a long time away.
It is, and it only gives us, like, I think 9 days before Season 2 starts. So for those who are wanting to rewatch Season 1 before Season 2 started...
You're going to have a Fringe marathon.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Which also means that we'll be picking up a set of those and sending those off to our Fringe contest winner, which was Charlie. Charlie Not Francis is his chat room name.
Now it's not Charlie Not Francis.
It's just Charlie.
Or it could be Dead Charlie Not Francis, depending on what they do with him.
Hungry, not Charlie Not Francis.
That's right.
Why we're talking about the contest winner?
Yes.
About the contest. You're talking about the contest. Let's talk about what we received in the mail that was very awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool that she...
Did you bring it?
I intended to, and I left it on my desk.
Nope.
Sketchbook as well. A lady by the name of Ingrid Hardy was our picture finalist, and she is the one who painted the watercolor of Walter dancing around with the crown looking thing that he placed on CBK. And I mentioned in our finale podcast that I was interested in buying that for her if that was an option, or I'd like to have a copy of it. And Courtney said, yes, me too. I love that. Well, she heard the podcast and said that she would be happy just to send it to us. And so she did. We got it in the mail on Friday, and it is awesome. It's in my office right now. And when I get the new house built, it will be in the studio so that it'll be kind of in the background of all of our live shows as a shout out to Ingrid and her fantastic talent. You can find her work. If you're a fan of Lost, Fringe, Star Wars, a little Star Trek, Indiana Jones, help me out here, guys. What else?
She did a lot of stuff. She also does commissions, so she pretty much should probably do anything you ask.
Yeah.
Lots of horses.
Yeah, she's got baseball stuff in there, a little bit of Heroes. And the Star Wars is the original Star Wars, the episode 1, 2, and 3 Star Wars, even the Star Wars Clone Wars. She does it all, and she's so, so talented. So please go check out Ingrid's work. She also has a website on eBay that you can buy her stuff. I'm trying to pull it up here. Here it is. Viking, V-I-K-I-N-G, Illus, like illustrated, ILLUS.com. VikingIllus.com. You'll love her work. She's fantastic. And I want to say thank you for sending us the original watercolor of Walter. It is fantastic. Yeah, Lord of the Rings, Patty says. She definitely does some Lord of the Rings stuff. And she's got some of that Star Wars stuff. Like, she's got the Han Solo frozen in carbonite with his hands kind of coming through. It just blows me away. Some of the detail with her shading and everything that she does it's awesome. You'll love her stuff, I'm sure. The week of... I should have got a calendar in front of me. I believe it's June the 14th is a Sunday. I'll be heading to Boston on June the 14th. And be coming back Thursday night. So I'll have a few nights there, the Tuesday, Wednesday maybe, that I'll be available. If those of you who are in the Boston area want to hook up and, you know, have dinner somewhere, you know, Dutch, of course, but just hang out. That would be cool. I tweeted it a couple of weeks ago, and I know a couple of you have already responded to me. So if you're in the Boston area and... the week of June the 14th, if you want to hook up one evening, my days are, a conference all during the day, but after say 5 or 6 o'clock, I should be available to to have dinner or something like that. So if you're interested, send me a feedback or an email to feedback@thefringepodcast.com or just send me a tweet, and we'll see what we can hook up with. Somebody want to talk about the book club?
We had several books mentioned in season one, as well as several books shown to us. And, like Jason said, normally book club is where everybody reads a book and then meets in 2 weeks. But I thought maybe it would be more beneficial for us if people took different books and read them and then gave us a brief synopsis by calling in and giving us a verbal synopsis or maybe an email synopsis and how it related to Fringe. That was just my thought.
I'm just trying to figure out how would we assign a different book to a different person?
April is suggesting, if we had the bulletin boards or the forum. The forum is still alive, April. I didn't destroy it. I just took down the link that goes to it. So I can easily put that back up if you guys want to use that as a tool for the book club.
I think that would be excellent, actually.
Okay.
So, okay.
All right.
Here it is.
Okay.
We'll put up a list of books that we've seen on Fringe. Probably it'll just mostly be that last bookshelf that we saw from the twins.
Yeah, or also the one from that we saw in the library that the guy was bringing back, or in the short creepy not the library, but the bookstore, bookshop guy. Remember that guy was bringing back a book?
That's right.
Yeah.
So it will be a list of books, and then everybody can go out there and pick their own book. Then after you've read it, go on the forums and discuss how you thought it related to Fringe, and then we can just bounce off each other that way.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks, April.
All right. So this podcast, now that we're 15 minutes into it, is about the Fringe comic. Fringe comic number 5 has the butterfly on the front for those of you who are watching live. Here you go. Let's give it our Bunsen burner ratings. And I gave it 4 Marty McFlys for the whole thing. I gave the front half 4. I gave the back half 4. Overall, I gave it a 4.
I gave it 8 heterochromic eyes.
Clint, what about you?
I gave it 6.5 Mendel Ranches.
Okay. All right. Jason, did you find your comic?
Yeah, I have
it. Okay. All right. What's your score?
I gave it a 7 overall. I'm just going to randomly pick a word out of the comic. Hold on.
7
I gave it 7. Bees. 7 forgives.
You were kidding about the random part.
Patty gave it 7 naked Nazis.
Yeah.
That made me so want to read it when I saw that.
What, the naked part or the Nazi part?
Both.
All right. Let's get into the review here. You want me to take the front half or you want the front half?
You can take the front half.
All right. So the front half is the continuation of the Bell and Bishop saga. Remember when we last left off, Bell and Bishop had been transported back in time to Nazi Germany, and they stood in the office of a man, and Walter told Bell that man, with all this Nazi stuff all over his office or whatever, had the big picture of Hitler on the wall, that man was Walter's father. So we pick up, and we have Walter and William, and that man are now in a local brew house, and I'm trying to see if I want to read this whole first thing here. I think I do. It says, the father says, "So let me see if I understand this correctly. The U.S. government in the future brought you plans for a machine, and not knowing what it was, you went ahead and built it, and then accidentally you got sent back in time to Germany, arriving today, April 29th, 1945, and since in the future I'm your father, Walter, you sought me out for refuge. Am I missing something?" And Walter's like, "Yeah, I know. I know you shouldn't believe us. I know you think we're crazy, but I know I can't prove that I'm your son." And the dad says, "You know what? You're not as crazy as you may think." And he takes them back to the lab, and there in their lab back in 1945, they've got a copy of the time machine exactly like the one that William and Walter built in, what year was that, like 1970
Something.
So then some guards come up, some German guards, and start questioning his Walter's father. Is it Hans, right? Right. Okay, Hans. And basically, they don't believe. They want to know why these Americans are here with him. And he's trying to say, look, they are defectors from the U.S. They're on our side. And the guards are very skeptical. And he gives him this very demented look. And he says, if you're lying, Hans, I'll find out. So Dad's a little worried about that. So back in there, that night, back in there where Walter and William are staying, this is a really interesting scene because William is very, very troubled. And he's like, we're here back in Germany, Hitler's Germany. You know, we got a chance to change history here. We got a chance to stop this madman. And William says, if we can't just close our eyes, if we don't use our knowledge to help people, then we're no better than these Nazis. And so he's really wanting to do something about it. And Walter also mentions that he has written a failsafe for the time machine, so that'll come back later. So the next day, we're back in the German lab, and there's a radio broadcast that they've intercepted. And basically what the guy sitting at the radio says is that the Führer and his new bride have just committed suicide. They're dead. And Walter tells Hans, and Hans says, yes, I heard. I imagine the Allies will be storming through soon enough. This shouldn't affect our plans, though. If your calculations are correct, everything will be up and running by tonight. And basically he says, he tells him that he can't do anything to alter the future. That if he changes anything, it could tear the fabric of space-time. Not to mention that I have, and he mentions the guard by name Klaus Schulz, looking for any reason to put me in front of the firing squad. And if I die, well, I don't have to tell you what happens to you. And so from there, we see it kind of nighttime comes later that night. They're sneaking off to try to get to the time machine, and they run across Hitler's widow. Earlier in the comic, when they refer to the Führer, that is indeed Hitler. And we see his wife, who supposedly committed suicide that's what the radio report said. Well, now here she is, and they're trying to smuggle her out. She's very much alive, which that means to Walter and William that they're worried that Hitler is also very much alive. So they scramble to the time machine. The guard there, Klaus, is there, and the gig is up, as they say, and there's words said, shots are fired, and Hans is hit. And Hans is laying there on the floor dying. As he's dying, Walter begins fading out, a la Marty McFly from Back to the Future. William Bell pulls a knife out and has Hans bite on his stick and uses the knife and some tweezers to extract the bullet. And Hans is immediately feeling better. Walter becomes more visible, and they take the time machine back to the present. The present for them, obviously. And so the last thing here, so I'm dying, Walter says to William, I'm sorry, the other way around. William says to Walter, so I'm dying to know, how did you rig the machine? And he says to him, if Hitler got away, let's just say he got what he deserved. And keep in mind, anytime they use the machine, wherever they wind up, they're buck naked. And so here we see Hitler buck naked, back in dinosaur times, and looks like he is going to be devoured by a couple of dinosaurs from 65 million years ago. And then it says, to be continued in Fringe number 6.
Let me go ahead and... Are we going to talk about the first part?
Let's talk about the first part. Who wants to go first?
Well, my first thought was, I think we now know for sure that Walter's ring that he wears on his necklace is his dad's.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's all.
Okay.
Nothing special. That was just my thought.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you know, the first part, other than the closure, I didn't really get a whole lot out of it. You know, I guess with the last comic, they kind of left things hanging why they were in Nazi Germany. But, I mean, other than the fact that they time-traveled back and then forward and met his dad, I didn't get a whole lot out of it.
I completely agree, and that's why I gave it a 4. I mean, in the last comic, it was this cliffhanger there in Germany. This is his dad. What's up with this? And, okay, well, within a couple of days, they're back in Boston, and, you know, I just didn't think it was a big deal. I was really, really disappointed with the whole, like I said, the Marty McFly thing, which is why I gave it 4 Marty McFlys. You know, I can look here who the credits are on the comic book. You know, the writers are not writers that I recognize, and so I don't know if this stuff's supposed to be canon. I presume that it is. My point is this: what we saw here with him getting shot and Walter's fading out and all that stuff, it's been done before. You know, it was done in one of the corniest time travel movies of all time, and I love Back to the Future, don't get me wrong, but I don't look at it as a sci-fi movie. I look at it as kind of a comedy, kind of a, I don't know, drama. I don't know, but I don't take it seriously as a sci-fi movie. And here we are looking at, you know, what I consider Fringe to be very sci-fi, to know what they're doing, and for them to pull the Back to the Future card on this one just really disappointed me. That, you know, that's obviously, I'm kind of alone on that. You guys gave it higher marks than I did, but I just was really disappointed with it.
Well, my marks were average between the two. I thought the second half was much better, but you're right. And, you know, for a show that's pursuing parallel universes, where if his dad died, you know, Walter and Belly might exist in another parallel universe, I doubt that we would see them fade away. It tried to marry two things that I don't think you could marry. That was just my opinion.
Yeah. Jason, what about you?
I like seeing the first recorded feeding of bratwurst in the last page, and then thinking that he probably strudeled in a swamp too.
Yeah. Again, I like the fact that Hitler got his. You know, I just thought it was a little unnecessary. It was just put in there. It might have been the only redeeming thing that we saw Hitler get his, but really, send him back 65 million years ago so he can get it? I just didn't appreciate that either. You know, at least they got their facts straight. Here on the first page where it says, you know, today, April 29th, 1945. They gave us that date because Hitler committed suicide on April 30th, 1945. I just thought, like, it was just a big waste. That's all.
It's a comic book.
Well, I know.
But April asked a good question, I think. So if the fading out wasn't appropriate for you, what would have been an alternative to that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't have an answer for it. I just,
you know, I think, you know, if his dad had died and he disappeared, that would be one thing. But the fact that his dad was dying and he faded out, that part was always kind of hokey to me on Back to the Future anyways. But
yeah, maybe that's part of it, where he's starting to feel ill and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just didn't like that. They pulled the Back to the Future card on it. All right. Is there any more comments on the first section here? Did you guys notice any CBGs anywhere?
Yes. There was one in the restaurant.
Was that where it was? I thought there was one somewhere.
And then there was also one, the waiter guy that brings the stuff to drug the reporter. He's bald.
Oh, okay, yeah. We're not to that part yet, but yeah.
Did you guys see Iron Man?
I did not see Iron Man.
It's old school Iron Man. He's on the second page, the big picture on the bottom. If you look in the upper middle part.
Yeah.
That's old school.
Oh, yeah.
I totally missed that.
Where at? Sorry.
That's either Iron Man or Iron Giant. One of the two. But that circle in the middle makes me say
bless
Iron
you.
Giant. Bless you.
Are you okay?
Sorry.
Did you just spontaneously combust? Let's move on to the second half. See money.
Okay. So we got a reporter. She's reporting on 3 different stories. Looks like at different times, considering she's wearing different outfits. The first one is quadruplets who spontaneously become quintuplets. And the second one is a horde of spiders have taken over this town. And the third was the creepiest for me. I think it was the picture. And it's the man who started sprouting mushrooms from his skin. So we cut over to the next page, and she's sitting in the editor, head guy, top dude, telling him her thoughts, and that she really wants to investigate and do some research. She wants to do some research on these. And she said that there are dozens of incidents around the world, and they all point back to one company and its massive dynamic. The editor is like, yeah, bah, whatever. And basically tells her to forget about it and reminds her that massive dynamic is the one that signs her paycheck. So he tells her, go home, take a night off, forget about it. And we see her going into her house, and her phone is ringing. Which, why she didn't take her cell phone with her, I don't know. Who goes to the store and leaves your cell phone? So she tells him, hang on. She runs in. She answers it. They know who she is. And they tell her that they are the public relations office of Massive Dynamic, and they would like for her to come and look at their facility, the research facility near Pleasanton. So she says, how did you get my number? And they said that they got it from the network. We see her driving out to the research facility, presumably, and she checks in, and they tell her to drive on through. Somebody's going to be waiting for her. She drives on down. We see a page of, it looks like a ranch, basically, kind of like a farm. So there's a silo and some buildings that look farmish. And it looks like a little lake. And then she gets out and is greeted by kind of a creepy-looking woman. And she begins to take her on a tour of the facility, giving her some information about jet engines and computer chips, and that the ranch is a working farm and the home of some of their most promising research initiatives. Of course, the reporter being a reporter asks what kind of initiatives, and then the doctor who is giving her the tour says, I could tell you, but that would ruin the surprise. She says, you're the first visitor to see what I'm about to show you. And they go into a building. We see this pleasant-looking, round, old man holding a chicken. And he asks her to inspect these two boxes. And this was what I thought was cheesy. It was like a little magic show. Look inside the box. Tell me if it's normal. So she looks inside the box. There's nothing inside. They see this chicken. The chicken has two orange eyes. And he makes sure to point that out. So he sticks the chicken in one of the boxes. Once he does that, everybody puts on their goggles. He counts up to three, I would assume, and a bright light goes, and then the old guy asks the doctor to go to the other machine and take out what's inside. And in the other machine is another chicken. And the bottom panel shows the two chickens with one eye each looking at us from the panel. But then we cut to the next page, and we see the other side of the chicken's heads, and one has an orange eye and one has a green eye. So one chicken has an orange and a green eye. And the doctor, or the old man doctor, proceeds to tell the reporter that they have successfully been cloning life forms like this, but they all suffer from heterochromia, and I'm sure I put the emphasis on all the wrong syllables.
The emphasis on the wrong syllable?
Yes, I wasn't going to do that, but yes.
I couldn't resist.
I know. And so he says, I suppose every... Doggy? And he says...
They were angered at your butchering of the words.
So your schnauzers have fine, delicate taste in words? Are they linguists?
Yes.
Okay.
They speak cat and hamster as well as dog.
As they're going down their gullet. Okay. So the old man doctor says, I suppose every innovation has its bugs to work out. And the reporter, of course, asks, this is unbelievable. Who knows about this? When are you going public? And then the doctor that was giving her the tour says, all answers in good time. But now, who's hungry? So they go, they eat. The reporter made a happy plate. She ate all her food. And... she says, okay, doctor, when do you tell me that the chicken we just ate came from a clone? And the doctor says, no, it was all natural. But I assure you, the cloned meat is perfectly healthy. Nina Sharp has it flown out to her office in New York regularly. She loves it. So nod to Nina Sharp, and this is where the creepy bald guy in the orange jumpsuit's walking away with I don't know what that is. Plates and cups, probably. Mm-hmm. And then the reporter says, but think of the implications of what you're doing. Someday you could conceivably mass produce instant clones from a single person as easily as photocopying a piece of paper. And of course, the doctor wants to put the positive spin on it and says a more optimistic view would be that we found a way to eliminate famine by instantly mass producing healthy crops and livestock. Just because a corporation is large, Miss Taylor, doesn't mean it's evil. As they are discussing, they're both taking drinks from their wine glasses. The reporter has some more objections, and then all of a sudden she's falling out of her chair on the floor holding her head, and we see this weird psychedelic picture at the bottom. It says, Miss Taylor, hold on, we'll get help. And then we flip the page, and the reporter is back talking to the editor head TV guy. And he says, so let me get this straight. You go up to Massive Dynamics Farm for a day, which sounds utterly boring, and suddenly you're dropping your big expose on their nefarious practices. What'd they do? Buy your silence? And then the next panel shows the reporter, except she has two different colored eyes. One blue and one green.
Dun, dun, dun.
And she explains why. She says, I guess I was trying to create connections that weren't there. And then the head guy says, fair enough, I need you behind the anchor desk anyway. By the way, I just noticed. I thought both your eyes were blue. And then she says, I usually wear corrective contacts, but really, boss, aren't you too busy to notice little things like that? The end.
All right, Jason, what are your thoughts on this?
I was wondering if she was going to lay an egg when she was talking to her editor. I like both stories equally.
I did have some thoughts. First of all, the thing that Courtney thought was so gross, which I agree, it's pretty disgusting. there actually is a fungus that does that to ants. And I put a link in our show notes to a YouTube video of that happening to the ants. This fungus gets inside their body, and then it starts spreading mushrooms out of their body.
Awesome.
It's pretty crazy.
That's gross.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Is this at
so
all?
Are they little bitty baby mushrooms, or do they grow into big mushrooms?
No, they're tiny.
They kind of
they're tiny. They usually start going through the head first.
Ew.
Is it kind of like the? Did you see on the Discovery Channel where the guy had like all this? They called him like tree bark, but it was all this. I thought it was a fungus that was growing on him.
Yeah, it was something like a wart or something that he had all over his body. The tree man. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had crazy like tree like hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything else I noticed. Obviously, Mendel. Mendel Ranch, which is named after Mendel, actually, the famous geneticist monk. This is the guy that crossed peas and noticed that short plants produce short plants offspring were short and tall plants offspring were tall, and it was about 50-50 if he crossed them.
Was that the one where you take the grid and you like bring down the genes into the boxes? I love doing that in biology.
I did too. He's German, by the way.
Square. Was he really?
Yeah. Born to an ethnic German family in Heisendorf B. Adrau. I'm sorry for butchering that. In Austria, though. But he was of German descent.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting link.
Yep.
The other thing I liked is that gave me more fodder for my crackpot theory.
Okay.
This is taking place in San Francisco, obviously, because you've got the Transatlantic Building there. But the fact that they're moving to Vancouver, I think that's why they're ditching Charlie, because I think Broyles and Olivia are going to move up to Seattle or Portland or somewhere like that, and they're going to discover a whole new pattern, because the things that she's talking about are the pattern emerging in San Francisco, so... I think the pattern is emerging all over, and that we're just going to get to see a different city.
I see.
We'll see.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Courtney?
Well, I thought it was interesting that we kind of start to feel warm fuzzies about Massive Dynamic with the last, what, three episodes of
Something
Fringe?
Like that, yeah.
And then we get the new comic, and which, you know, we're kind of debating now, is it canon or not?
Right.
Which I still think it's canon. Why else would they produce six? That would be really silly.
I agree.
But, anywho, we get the warm fuzzy, and then our very next story that is non Bishop Bell related is about a reporter who is abducted and then cloned by Massive Dynamic just because she's asking the wrong questions.
Exactly. Now they can
My warm fuzzy is no longer warm and fuzzy. Yeah. It's more like cold and scary.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Which, you know, you think about the implications of that. Here she is asking those tough questions, and you invite her to your ranch, and you kill her and make a clone of her. And now she is click the heels, yes, sir, no, sir type of person. Let's see. You could do that with the president. You could do, I mean, you know, that's a
Yeah, if you get them to deal. The right place.
Which we have seen in previous comics that the president seems to be aware of the Massive Dynamic, the pattern events and all that stuff, and is pushing for it to continue and stuff like that. So, that could be what's going on.
Could be. Yeah, I kind of wonder if it's not just, you know, they are trying to stop something and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get to where they need to go. Kind of the ends justify the means sort of thing.
Right.
Mm. I don't know if they're... I mean, they're evil, right? I think they're evil, but they might be evil with good intentions. Kind of like the Nazis were for a while.
Hmm, that's interesting.
That's just my thought.
Yeah. Well, I gave it a 4 because I felt like this was telegraphed the whole way from the point where, you know, obviously it wasn't coincidence that she makes these accusations about Massive Dynamic to her boss and she gets a phone call to go visit Massive Dynamic the next day. So as soon as she got the call to go out there, I thought, you know, she's going to wind up dead or something. And then as soon as I saw the chicken with the clone with the eyes, I was like, okay, well, that's what they're going to do. They're going to clone her, and sure enough, that's what happened. So I just felt like it was telegraphed a little or a lot too much. Well, I think there's some good things in the story that we've talked about. Perhaps I should give it a little higher rating, maybe a 6 or something. But I felt like the whole story was too predictable and telegraphed, and that's why I gave it a 4.
April and I are having an interesting discussion here.
All right.
I noticed.
She was responding to, I don't even remember what I had said now, but I'm trying to pin Massive Dynamic into black or white, and that's just the way I am. I have a hard time being gray and smeary lines and whatnot.
Okay.
And, she says, Massive Dynamic is a corporation made up of lots of people, some more scrupulous than others, perhaps. Is it all not black and white? And I would agree with that, except it still has a chain of command. So even an unscrupulous one would, if they did something like that, like clone the reporter and then make the real one go missing, somebody higher up would know or find out about that. And I just don't see how that could be hidden, even in a company that large.
Yeah.
But we are trying to...
One thing...
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I just say we are trying to put them in one column or other, and I think that's just my natural reaction. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I'm the same way, but J.J. Abrams loves gray. He loves dealing in the gray areas. I mean, you see that all of his other shows and movies, even who's good, who's bad. Some people are mostly good and mostly bad. So, I think that's his theme that he loves to play in.
And Patty makes another excellent scary point. MD in charge of media is scary.
Yeah.
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 But, which was the comment that I wanted to make. When we started season one, I thought Massive Dynamic reminded me of General Electric a little bit. And now it really reminds me of General Electric. General Electric owns
NBC.
Majority share in NBC. And so it's kind of that's exactly what this reminded me of. So I thought, oh, that's kind of funny. And if you look at, you know, General Electric's history, started by Thomas Edison, who, obviously was a great inventor, but some of his business practices were less than scrupulous in dealings with the competition from Nikola Tesla and stuff. So,
well, that's excellent.
I thought it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. All right. Any other comments on the comic?
Other than it could help me out with my Peter is actually a clone and not alter Peter theory.
Yeah.
So then we wouldn't have had to have worried about how long would it take him to grow. He wouldn't have to grow.
There you go.
Other than that, no.
Yeah, it wasn't just a clone here. It was a copy of, I mean, they were instantaneously the exact same.
Except for the eyes.
Right.
Which I don't think Peter has different colored eyes, but he could wear corrective lenses.
He could, absolutely. And we, you know, we've talked a lot about eyes in this podcast, and a lot of our listeners especially have done that, where they've been looking at eye color, and some have talked about Olivia's eyes changing color, and we've just... You know, Jason, you said that your brother said, well, that's kind of typical based on the scenery, the lighting that's on set and stuff like that. Maybe there's more to it than that.
Could be.
All right. I meant to mention this in the Fringe Binge portion of the podcast. There is a book that has just come out in the last couple of weeks. It's by author Steve Bamberger. And you can get this on eBay. We'll place a link to this on our show notes, so you can go to thefrenchpodcast.com and look for the show notes for episode 38. And it's called The First Season of Fringe, A Timeline That Explains All. And for those of you who are watching us live right now, it's a green cover. It's got some cool stuff there on the cover, a bunch of numbers and stuff. He goes into just meticulous detail in this book. He actually references the glyph chart that I created on page 5, which I didn't know he was doing that, and I have no problem with it. He gave us credit for it. He also gives credit to those who broke the code. We obviously did not break the code. We just came up with a chart. He's got this timeline of patterned events and throughout before the show aired, you know, things we learned through dialogue that happened, you know, in a timeline since before, you know, we pick up the story, and it takes up the first third of the book. I mean, it's nothing but this timeline. Then he gets into the technologies that we see. He gets into the characters, if he thinks they're good, they're bad, if they're dead, if they're alive. He's got an entire section on The Observer, which I was hoping to read before I came today, but that's the next thing I have to read is the section on The Observer. He's got ZFT Network and Technology and these very fancy-looking charts and stuff. And anyway, it's a very detailed book. For the most part, I've enjoyed it. He's got a couple of things that I would disagree with, but we're talking about whether he thinks someone is good or bad or something like that. So he knows his stuff. He's very knowledgeable on the show. And anyway, so you can go to eBay. I'll put a link in our show notes area if you want to get a copy of this book. I think I'm going to get another copy of it and give a copy away as a prize in a future edition of our podcast. But if you're wanting to have something that can help you understand what's going on, help you remember who all the characters are and all that stuff, this book will definitely help you out with that.
My copy just came yesterday.
Ah, and it's called The First Season of Fringe, A Timeline That Explains All by Steve Bamberger. It does not have an ISBN, so you can't do any type of ISBN search for it. All right.
Is it written on a typewriter?
It is, with wonky Y, yes.
We still have people that can't find the comics. Do we have a really good online source?
Yes. Give me a minute. I'll pull that up. One of our listeners sent us an email. I think it was Ingrid, actually, that did that.
Oh, yeah. I think I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. Ecomicbookshop.com. This is from Ingrid Hardy, one of our listeners. Obviously, she did the Walter painting we were talking about earlier. She recommends ecomicbookshop.com. And again, I will post a link to this in our show notes area. So if you're having trouble locating the comics locally, you can go to this website online and find the comics there. That's where she's been getting them from. Ecomicbookshop.com, just to make sure I'm clear. Okay, our next podcast, we'll probably do a feedback podcast. We still need a little bit more feedback before we have enough for a full podcast on that.
Are we going to do the poll result for the quote of the season?
Are we going to do that now?
Doesn't matter to me.
Well, we'll keep it for now. How's that? And we'll decide when to end it. So if you haven't yet voted on the quote of the season, then you can still take part in that. All right, so the next comic comes out June 24th, so we'll be doing a podcast for that, definitely. When is Comic-Con?
July, mid-July.
Okay. So we'll probably have another podcast around Comic-Con time. If you're going to Comic-Con and you're interested in being a correspondent for us, email us. We'll have some guidelines that'll have to be met before we'll allow that. But if you're interested in talking with us about that, let us know. And we'll have a feedback podcast coming shortly in the next couple of weeks. So if you haven't seen any of those theories, if you've been holding on to them or thinking about them, or if this comic has brought new theories to mind, give us a feedback at feedback@thefringepodcast.com.
Or call us on the Fringe phone at 206-426-5898.
And you can also, this week, for example, we had somebody leave a theory in the chat room. So you can also go to thefringepodcast.com/chat and leave a theory in the chat room. So we'll talk about that when we do the feedback podcast and stuff. So obviously you can also follow each of us on Twitter. You can go to our website, and there on the sidebar is the ability to just click on a link and follow any one of us on Twitter, as well as a link to our Cafe Press store so you can gear up with Fringe podcast gear.
Which I haven't even geared up with our own gear yet.
I haven't either, but I told my wife yesterday that I need to get a couple of t-shirts so when I go to Boston, I'll have one to wear. We were out in public yesterday at this ranch, and there's people everywhere, and it would have been a great opportunity to be a walking billboard for our podcast, and I didn't have a shirt to wear.
You suck.
I know. I wore my Lost shirt instead that I won from Joker.
Did you guys come up with these in like a day?
Because
that's
much
what it looks like. Man, they're really good shirts.
Well, thanks.
You guys did really good on the shirts. I really like the green, 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 red dot. I would have never thought of that.
Whose idea was that?
Awesome.
It's probably yours.
Yeah, it
if you're
been
asking.
I couldn't remember if it was or not. No, I couldn't remember. I didn't want to take credit for something that wasn't mine. I know that Jason had a couple ideas on those too. So anyway, we have more ideas. And that's the other thing. If you've got a t-shirt idea.
Yeah, why didn't we mention this before? Yeah, you've got a cool t-shirt idea for, and it has to be The Fringe Podcast, you got to throw us on there somewhere.
Right.
Can't just be Fringe, because we don't want to be infringing on Fringe and get sued for copyright.
Right. There are copyright things that we have to be mindful of. But yeah, send us your ideas, and we'll see if we can
Ingrid
make that into a shirt for you. Yeah.
And we'll even allow you to pay us to print the shirts up. So.
Yes, Kool-Aid is trademarked, Ducky, but we've got an artist friend of ours who we're trying to get him to draw something that has a similarity to the Kool-Aid Man without being exactly like the Kool-Aid Man. So that's something we're thinking about doing. All right, let's wrap up this podcast. Do you guys have any other closing thoughts?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
May I use your other one?
Oh, you just asked if I had other thoughts. The other one's my sign-off.
Oh, okay. Well,
you can't take my sign-off.
Right,
sorry.
I wanted it to be included, that's all.
Oh, it will be.
Okay. All right, anything from you guys?
No.
All right, so until next time.
May the Fringe be with you.
Go to
stay on the Fringe.
That was it.